Well, greetings and thank you for tuning in as we continue to explore God, faith, and life together, even though we might be apart. I hope you are doing well and have been practicing good social distancing and hygiene practices. So one of the things that we as a church like to do is to take a book of the Bible and look at it over a few weeks. This allows us to see themes and ideas better, as we're able to put them into a larger context, as each letter has a series of small ideas that tie into a larger meaning. So that being said, over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at what many people believe is the first pastoral letter the Apostle Paul wrote. We're going to be looking at the book of Galatians. And to understand the motive for writing this letter, I need to tell you a story about an intensely focused mother. Now, this mother didn't like to be disturbed when she was doing things, be it her personal job or her equally shared housework or even her personal projects, her knitting and crafts. One day she was working on a diamond art puzzle in her she shed, her craft room, if you will. And her daughter came rushing in and wanted to speak. Up went Mum's hand, indicating for the young lady to wait until she was ready. After about 10 minutes, Mum looked up to see her daughter still there. It seemed like the daughter had something important to say. Mum sighed, "Yes, my dear," to which the daughter replied very calmly and without a trace of panic, "The house is on fire." You would agree, right, that there are times when it's important to forsake the customary polite and social graces and blatantly state the problem. A burning house is a time for immediate communication. And this idea of immediate communication needed is Paul's motivation for writing. See, the church in a place called Galatia, a place that Paul had visited and ministered to, a place where Paul personally knew people, people who he knew heard and accepted the gospel, the good news of Jesus, and how he dealt with things that have kept people from God, that it was his act that paid the price. Well, these people are being told that God's grace wasn't enough, that they needed something else. Because we have so many of Apostle Paul's letters, we're able to see some patterns. Patterns that were sort of customary in the letter writing of that day. In other words, Paul's letter has a predictable form. As you read through the books, the epistles that Paul wrote, we see that there's usually an initial greeting, a prayer or a petition for grace and peace, followed closely by thanksgiving to God. And then Paul would go into the body of the letter and talk about the issues at hand. And then he would finish it off with some personal greetings and a farewell. In this letter to Galatians, Paul skips the Thanksgiving section that was so typical in his other letters. Instead, Paul blatantly expresses his dismay. "I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel." Galatians 1:6. By skipping out on that thanksgiving, it seems like Paul is coming out and slamming the people. By him skipping the thanksgiving, we're able to pick up that there's something seriously wrong in this church of Galatia to prompt such a sobering introduction. And as we read the letter carefully, we start to see that the gospel which Paul had preached, which these people had accepted, was somehow quickly being set aside for another teaching. A teaching that took the emphasis off the gospel and placed it onto something else. We call it the and this issue. You need the gospel and you need to do this. You need to pray five times a day. You need to do this. And it's only by having the gospel and doing that thing that you could be saved by God. So why is this book important for us today? Well, we learn not only do we need to learn of those departures from the gospel in ancient days, but it helps us understand ourselves today. More on this to come, but our starting point is that it is by grace alone that God has forgiven, saved, and made us right. The idea is that we have freedom in Christ. And because of this theme of Paul's writing to the Galatians, the idea that outside of Jesus, we don't need any other thing to assure us of our redemption. Throughout the history of the church, the message of Galatians has been needed and spoken about to free people from the chains of false belief. When the early Judaizers, those who wanted to bind Christians to the old commandments of Moses and the law of Sinai, the thing that plays out in Galatians, it's this book that is reminding the reader that they are set free like Galatians. During the period of the Dark Ages, where the church tried to bind Christians into a papal system of salvation by penance and work, Galatians reminds them that Christ has set us free. When modern legalists try to bind us to a joyless religion of superior righteousness by doing this or that, Galatians reminds us that it is Christ who has set us free. Martin Luther was moved by Galatians. He said, "The epistle of Galatians is my epistle. I have betrothed myself to it. It's my wife." His commentary on Galatians cost him more labor. He held it in more high esteem, more important than any of his other work. For Luther, as for every age, the simple gospel message found in Galatians is a mighty weapon in the arsenal of understanding our freedom. So Galatians is important. Paul's letter speaks of wisdom and clarity in the first real conversion controversy that plagued the church in its early years. The relationship between Christians who were Jewish first and Christians who were converted from quote-unquote pagan religions. The people that the Bible calls Gentiles. The first thing we need to know that we might not pick up on was there was a difference. There was, should I say, no difference between Jews and Christians. In fact, many Christians were simply considered to be part of a messianic Jewish sect, part of the same family, but it has its difference. Think about Woolworths as a company. They own Big W and Woolworths and Safeway and a few other little things. They're part of the same whole, but each one is different. They all sell the same thing, but the thing that they sell is different. So in one sense, we could say Big W is Woolworths. And that's how it was for the eyes of the Jewish, for those outside of the Jewish faith. They were looking across and they were saying, from the outside, it looks like these are the same things. But on the inside, there were marked differences. So this background of having Jewish converts and Gentiles, pagan people who have come to Christianity, the question it leads us to is a major question. a question which the early church leaders had to face. And that was whether or not someone coming from a non-Jewish background, a Gentile, had to become a Jewish person first. And this is something that the early church fathers had to wrestle with. As some were saying, no, you were saved by faith and grace alone. And others were saying, no, this is for the Jewish people. We need to become Jewish first. Or this idea of that Jesus plus Judaism is what would equal our salvation. This troubled Paul a lot. Paul travels to Jerusalem to meet with the other disciples to discuss what to do with Gentile Christians. What do they need to observe? And this will get picked up in chapter 3. But what we'll see is that the very heart of the issues that these Galatians were dealing with, should they seek to be justified through the Mosaic law? In contrast, Paul presented his argument that justification comes to people by faith in Jesus. It's not by their works under the law. Paul opens Galatians with this aggressive tone to show us how important it is to him that people embrace what we are in Christ, our unity with Christ, no matter what their radical distinctions. For him, there was no minor issue, as he went as far to call the Galatians the deserters of Christ, people turning from the truth towards a gospel contrary to the one that they had received. You can read it about it a little bit more in chapter 1 of Galatians, verses 6 to 9. When the Galatians fell away so quickly from the gospel of grace Paul had preached to them, they also made clear their disloyalty to Paul's authority as an apostle. Therefore, Paul spends the beginning of the letter to the Galatians by spending two chapters defending his issue to speak on it. Now, understand who Paul is. Paul is the one who used to lead the charge in the early persecution of the church. Paul, who is now a believer and an advocate for not just faith in Christ, but Gentiles being accepted. Some commentators suggest that Paul's ministry as an apostle, and specifically as a church planter, is that he was charged with encouraging those non-Jewish people to accept the message of Christ. And this is an important thing, an important idea of Galatians. Liberty or freedom in Christ. 5 times Paul will mention bondage or slavery. That others were trying to bind to those who were listening. They wanted to lead Christians, out of the liberty of grace back under the weight of law. Paul knew that bondage was not part of the message of the gospel, for Christ had died to set people free. Paul ministered and messages were the source of that authority. And the third aspect of Paul's authority was his motive. In verses 2 to 5, we read, "To the church in Galatia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen." And as we see, what will happen is the false teachers weren't ministering for the glory of Christ, but for their own glory, for their own justification. So as we start to wrap up, we've got to ask ourselves, what does Christian freedom look like? There are some church groups that live under a set of law and expectations that can be smothering. This is because when someone's salvation is tied to their behavior or attitude or appearance and to following a set of rules, there can be little freedom to live, to make mistakes and to grow. Therefore, in such churches, people will put on a good face, a proper smile, and not really share serious issues in their lives. In Galatians chapter 5, 13, we are told, "My brothers and sisters, you were chosen to be free. But don't use your freedom as an excuse to live under the power of sin. Instead, serve one another in love." The Galatians were called by God's grace. They were set free as believers in Christ. The truth in him had set them free. This verse to the Galatian believers is pivotal because it accomplishes two things. It authorizes believers to lay claim to the freedom that they have. But it also challenges believers to use their freedom responsibly. One commentator talked about how there is always this danger that people freed from one tyrant will fall prey to another. We see it today where people give up one addiction and replace it with something else. I had a friend who decided to give up sugar and instead drank more coffee. He replaced one addiction, that addiction to sugar, with an addiction to caffeine. See, new Christians who realize that their spiritual freedom has delivered them from the bondage to the law may foolishly rush into a new servitude, bondage to their sinful nature. People who spend their lives trying to justify, to satisfy their every impulse and appetite. But what they find out is that this freedom is phony. It's even worse than that. It is bondage. It's tying yourselves to a new set of rules. This later predicament had not yet been the problem of Galatians. But Paul knows the new danger that they might well be facing in the opposite directions. So to sum up, the message of Galatians is to understand that we are free from the law of Moses. But in our freedom, we must not assume that this is an open license to do as we want. And that true freedom must change our lives. So today, do you enjoy that freedom that Christ offers? Do you live under bondage to law or under bondage to lawlessness? Well, hopefully by the end of our Galatians series, you'll see the point of all of this is that we are meant to change in light of what God has done for us. Let us pray. Father God, we come before you and we acknowledge at times that we do not fully grasp our freedom. Lord, that we would rather and sometimes choose to live either under the law or under lawlessness. But Father, what you offer through your Son's death and sacrifice is freedom from all things. So Father, help us to fully grasp and understand that freedom. In your powerful Son's name, amen. Well, bless you guys. Once again, we just want you to know that we as a church, as a leadership, and myself are praying for you. We hope that you are staying safe and well. If you have any needs or concerns or any feedback, please feel free to contact us on the usual channels. So until next time, peace, grace, and blessings to you all.